Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Tracy, I about had a full-on panic attack when I got your email telling me that you accidentally deleted 6 years of archived files electronically. clearing your throat, and you proceeded to share with me that it was not only a disturbing experience, yeah, but you wrote the word enlightening. Oh, it was enlightening. I can't wait to hear about how enlightening it is to delete 6 years worth of files. How many files was that?
8,956, to be exact.
Tracy finds it enlightening to delete over 8,000 files. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. This is the Journey to There radio show, and we will be enlightening you today at the intersection between personal and business growth. Here, just give us the password to your Dropbox account, and Tracy will enlighten you. She'll delete all your files. Our website is journeytothere.com. Listeners find us on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Power Radio, as well as Stitcher. Tracy, I can't wait to hear your twist on this.
Well, the reason I was clearing my throat so many times in the beginning is I'm still finding it very difficult to talk about.
I'm sure you are.
So I'm going to hit the highlights of what happened and we're going to move on.
Please.
I'm going to kind of do it in bullet points. Had a computer, was selling computer, cleaning off said computer for the new person buying computer. Synced two computers, thought everything was taken care of. Logged out of Dropbox, deleted Dropbox app on said computer, and went on with my day. Well, evening, because this actually happened around 6 p.m.
Until what happened?
Until right before I was getting ready to go to bed. Hello, listeners. Sidebar. Do not ever check your email right before you're about to turn the lights off.
Yeah, which we have discussed in a few episodes.
In a million times in various episodes. Clearly, I still have that lesson to learn.
How'd you sleep that night?
This one may have done it for me, though. So I get an email from my assistant, who is wonderful, and I love her. And she says, I was just going to upload this file, and when I went to the folder, it was empty. Did you move the items? And it was like simultaneously my brain connected the dots and started screaming, oh, my God, oh, my God. And, I mean, really, it was my brain screaming, not my mouth at that point. And if it was my mouth, it would be definitely a different set of words.
If you're in the same room, you can hear when her brain is screaming and her mouth is not even moving.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that our listeners out in California, which we have a lot of and we love you all, is that you could have heard my brain screaming. So what happened was I looked at my phone because Dropbox is supposed to be synced on everything, right?
If you do it right.
I thought I did. Thank you. And see, it's just too soon. Just too soon for the jokes. And I pulled it up and every folder said empty folder, empty folder, empty folder. And I just want to reiterate before I move forward with our topic that was 6 years of archived client folders, files.
I would have blown a gasket.
Logos, strategies, PowerPoints, graphic files.
Everything. Everything.
Every single thing. I am such, and Russ can speak to this, I am so compulsory about how I file things.
But there's no problem because you also back that up on a separate hard drive, do you not?
Well, I thought iCloud was the second hard drive. Oh, I've learned so much, but let's not even dwell on that. So, So I want to get to this enlightened part because I like to create, you know, I'm not one to stay in the black muck of despair. However, this warranted it for a while. Like, I gave myself 24 hours. And within those 24 hours, I rode the roller coaster of I logged in. Dropbox said you could restore them if they had been deleted within 30 days.
Oh, wow.
I hit restore, and I'm like, it gave me enough peace to be able to go to sleep because I thought I had restored all said files. And I'm going along with my day the next day, and I'm kind of like, you know, you see people, and you're like, yeah, guess what happened to me last night? Woo, I fixed it, though. We're all good. Moving on. Until I get the same email from my assistant.
Oh, you're kidding me.
And she says, I went into the folder again, and it's still empty.
Well, that's it. I got to teach you how to use this this cloud service.
So then what I so observed was that my files did partially restore. They didn't fully restore. And the ones that did restore didn't restore back into my anal retentive filing system as I had had them for the last 6 years. Yeah. They just, like, you know, my Granny Pearl's kitchen with all the FDA and packaging design that won Addie Awards, you know, just so.
So is insane. All that gone?
That particular folder. No, that folder's there, but right in the middle of it just might be a Journey to There episode and a chapter of a book I read. I mean, it was so messed up, and it was like a ball of yarn rolled in honey, dipped in nuts, and run over by a car.
All right, so we're all at the edge of our chair, or in your case, they're bouncy balls. Whoever sits on those, like Tracy does, I'm curious.
Yeah, you need to be really careful how you describe that.
I think I covered it. So
we're referencing my chair.
Yeah,
just so
she doesn't sit on a traditional chair. She doesn't do anything traditional. But anyway,
no, I don't.
How did you turn something like this into an enlightening experience? And then I've got a question for you. Go ahead.
Okay, so this really is what I want to focus on. I knew we had to give the backstory in order for you to know how the topic came up in the first place. The enlightening part came out of this. So I have to tell you the descriptive moment in between the, oh my God, let's just go with holy cow, my files of 6 years, 8,956, in case you didn't remember, are all gone, and I don't think I'm ever going to be able to get them back. The moment where my sweet husband, who had one eye open because he was so tired.
Well, because he could hear your brain screaming.
Oh, he knew. This was a meltdown like no other. I mean, he saw it coming. And so he immediately gets on the Google and tries to figure it out for me. But in between that moment, which is what I really want to talk about, is the moment of despair that then created, and I'm not kidding, it was like a life flashing before my eyes moment where I pictured the Addie Award winning packaging. I pictured all of our episodes gone, all the chapters of the books that I've written so far, the book I'm writing so far gone. I mean, the file that had the previous 5 years of files on it from my previous laptop. I mean, it was like a scene from a movie where it was just like an avalanche rolling down the hill in my brain. And then, right, like as soon as the flashing before my eyes happened, then there was this one moment of calm where I went, you know what? Maybe I'm just meant to start a new beginning. I mean, it was like that profound. It was like, you can't do anything about it. They're gone. All you can do is move forward from today. Now, I don't know where I got the power to bring that in. I'm just saying, I think that was not me. I think that was my divine intervention voice from above.
This was
literally went there.
This was within how long of you realizing that you lost everything?
Like, we're talking about 3 minutes or less. Like, I went from just, like, hysterically serious. Like, I'm not a crier. I was crying. Like, I I cry at Hallmark moments and puppies.
This is not a Hallmark moment.
No. I'm just saying, like, I'm a feeler. I'm just not usually a crier.
Right.
Unless there are puppies or Hallmark movies involved. This, however, warranted crying. But the thing that I just wanted to share and what I want to dig in deeper is, and that's why the topic of the episode is called Delete and Restore.
Yeah, we'll get into the restore part here.
Is because I was amazed at my ability to actually take it in that moment and go from this could have been the biggest meltdown of my entire life.
Yeah, it would have been. It would have been for me.
Maybe, just maybe, because they are pretty much restored, then I can look at it this way. But I want you to know, and I'm not in any way exaggerating, that in that 3 minute window, I did have that curve from this is the worst thing that could have happened to me professionally to, okay, well, you know, it happened. They're gone. You're still alive. Nobody was hurt in this incident except for yourself. No one was harmed in this study. And then I just decided maybe that stuff just really just needed to be cleared out. And I really want to go in this one particular myopically focused direction, which is my true passion. And maybe all that other stuff just needed to be cleared out energetically so that I could focus on going forward in this one way.
Because
we all know I own like four different businesses. And trust me to tell you, those files are in there too.
There's a lot of important files in there. This is not just a refresh. I mean, we're talking about important documents. What mechanism did you have inside of you that clicked, that gave you the ability to think this way?
I just want to say, like, first of all, I really have to give all of the work in a lot of times on the show we talk about, I don't like to talk about things unless I've actually lived them. I don't like to give references or advice or takeaways that I've not actually used myself. And I'm actually proud of the moment when it occurred, because it was, I felt like 6 years of files were gone, but about 20 years of work on myself internally was still intact. And that's what I really relied on in that moment, was this could be and feels like a total disaster, but let's see what we can do to solve it, move forward, and deal with it. And as a result of being able to feel that way, then it didn't feel nearly as traumatic. And
now, how long was it when you realized that, hey, I'm going to turn this into an enlightening experience? How long between that moment and the moment you realized that you were able to restore many of the files?
Well, I feel like it was still within that 3-minute window. And I think for me, what I felt, how I remember it in my mind, and we're going to talk about that today too, about how our feelings are not necessarily factual in terms of memories. However, in my window of memory, I remember total meltdown, coming to terms with it, peace, and then my husband saying, here's a list of things you can do, and me feeling like, okay, because I came to a peace with it, that I was going to accept that they were gone, now a solution is going to present itself. So in my mind, it happened in 3 minutes. It really could have possibly been more like 80 seconds. I really don't know. It felt like 3 years.
Okay.
But the reality of the situation is it was a very concise amount of time, because I would think that normally something like that would freak me out, considering, you know, that my primary source of all the self-work that I've done on myself these last, at least last 12 years, has been on my work addiction.
Yeah,
so you're talking about not just taking the candy away from the baby. You're talking about kicking the baby out of the house, tearing it down, burning it. And even if she has the key, there's nothing to unlock anymore, right?
All right. So we got to the delete portion and your enlightenment. And now we get to the restore part of the show and how we can enlighten our listeners on dealing with instances such as what you've dealt with.
And that's really, I think, the more important part of the show, and that's definitely where the learning part comes. I also want to say, too, because there are two parts of this that I want to connect the dots on and then roll into the feeling part, because this part needs to be told in order to make everything make sense, if you will. It was 12 years ago, the window of when this happened was a week of an anniversary of 12 years ago when I literally deleted my entire career by walking out the doors of my broadcast radio career and left it behind. So there was a lot of symbolism in that as well. I mean, when I say that there was a connection, I'm talking about that it happened within the exact same 24 hours that I left my radio career from my management day-to-day perspective and started my business without anything underneath of me. It was like everything
right
behind me was gone, and ahead of me was this past 12 years of journey, which is what led me to Journey to There. So there was a tremendous amount of symbolism in the fact that it was in the same 24-hour window of time. The other thing that was fascinating about it is that it was within the 1 year window of time to the date that Journey to There was born,
right,
because I birthed it on the date that was the anniversary of starting this journey. So there was all kinds of these, like, all this synergy and serendipity and just all of this irony, if you will, just caving in on me at one time. And I've always had a theory. So here's where we get with the feelings. I've always had a theory that we are triggered in our subconscious by the scents and smells and turn of seasons, if you will. Like, if you've experienced something has been traumatic in your life, then you can, like, a year later, 5 years later, 15 years later, during the window of time that happened, then your subconscious brings back to the surface by scents and smells and times of year and reminders that traumatic memory. So that's always been a theory for me, because if our listeners who haven't been with us since the beginning, I left the radio station on that day, and then 4 weeks later, my first husband, who was amazing, and we were still business partners, and he passed away of a massive coronary within,
right,
you know, 7 days. So this literal window of time for me has a tremendous amount of powerful deletion without my control.
I want to, going back to, because you brought up a good point, you know, going back 12 years and you hit that delete button on your life. What I want to know for the listeners who have, you know, joined us since the time that we've talked about it, just a quick recap, what was the turning point? What actually got you 12 years ago to hit that delete button, walk out of that career and just start a whole new refresh?
Well, at that time, I was at the top of my career in the broadcast media business. The only higher position I could have acquired was to own the station. So
yeah, you were doing well.
Absolutely. And I was in my early 30s, and I was overseeing 12 radio stations in two different markets. And I mean, I was rocking it, and it was great. Everything was bankrupt in my body except for my bank account. And your bank account's not in your body, so technically it doesn't
count. Exactly.
So I was physically, spiritually, emotionally, to use the word, depleted. And I needed to just step away, and the epiphany that happened, sort of like that quiet voice that happened this time when the files got deleted, was this quiet voice inside of me that said, it's just a job. It's not a sick child. It's not a sick parent. It's, you know, it's a job. You can leave it. You can not even show up tomorrow, which wouldn't have been the most professional thing, but you don't have to do this. And when
right, it's not a sentence. You're not in jail.
Right, but I was like, you, that Eagles quote, though. Think of that Eagles quote. So oftentimes we live our lives in chains, not realizing that we have the key. That was my life in that moment. I literally did not realize that I had the key.
You found
to change
the key.
It. And I found the key through my quiet voice that comes to me. And I left. And then, sadly, of course, so my career that was the one pinnacle of my foundation, and my first husband, who was the second pinnacle of my foundation, wiped out
everything gone
7 days of each other.
Wow.
I mean, it was pretty devastating. So you think about that, deleting your files for 6 years pretty much seems like, oh yeah, I stumbled and broke my toe, right?
All right, you have to understand that you're a very strong person, because you had the ability to do this. And I wonder how many people out there are in the position that you were in before you hit that quote unquote delete button, and how many people will never do anything about it as you did. And now we have a captured audience here, and there are some of those that are in that situation. Now you need to inspire those people on a train of thought, a mechanism that they can trigger in their head or in their being on what they can do to hit that delete button, of course, without trying to hurt anybody around you in the process.
That's the whole entire reason why Journey to There was born. It took me a full, you know, I don't make this sound like it was another 90-second moment. My files got deleted and I came to peace with it. No, it was a 10-year moment. And that's why I started Journey to There, because it was a really difficult time for me for several years after that, and just finding my way, getting on my feet, you know, walking through grief and starting a new business at the same time, you know, taking out my plan B, whatever you want to call it, no safety net. And I just dug my heels in, because I just knew, I've always known that no matter what, that this was the right path. I like felt it. And I just felt like, even when I was wavering and so frustrated and felt like maybe I'm crazy, which is debatable. And so when I started Journey to There, it was like, okay, I want to help people shortcut their learning curve and be, hopefully take away some tactical things to do if you feel in that way. So with the feeling part, I had a hunch. And the reason I had the hunch was because that was probably the most traumatic window of time that I had had in my life up to that point, and especially since it was simultaneous. Well, over the next few years, I started catching myself right around the window of time that we're talking about. I caught myself, like, I would be in a bad mood for no reason. I would be snappish. I wouldn't be acting as myself. And then it was like, I would look at a calendar and I'd be like, oh, well, of course, this is the
anniversary.
It's like my brain subconsciously was taking over my personality. And I really didn't have awareness around the fact that it was occurring at the same time as that window of time. And then one of my very best girlfriends, who sadly lost her husband very unexpectedly on Thanksgiving Day, which is very sad, no matter what day it happens, but on Thanksgiving Day, we had a conversation about it later. I met her several years later, and we were talking about her experience, and she was saying about how, like, every time the leaves turn to the fall, every time the Halloween pumpkins come out, and any scent of any, you know, everybody loves some pumpkin lattes, pumpkin pudding, pumpkin bread, pumpkin, right. You know, pumpkin, whatever. That's not a particularly fond smell for her. And so all of those memories come up. And even though that she is happily remarried and she, her, you know, her small children that were young then are, you know, one's in college and one's about to graduate from high school. I mean, we're talking about a long window of years here. Yeah. Every year at the same time, it sneaks up on her. So in researching this show, I actually got my hunch completely validated, and I learned about the fact that we have the situation where our brain is triggered. And what happens is, because brain scans have shown that in a traumatic event, when it occurs, that there is increased activity in the brain, which stores the memories, which we know that, of course.
Yeah.
But what I didn't realize that it's stored in a place that's associated with sound, touch, and smell. But here's the part I didn't know, I just suspected. In the rational frontal lobes where reasoning occurs. So it never actually fades away like any other memory. Like if you have a happy memory, or you just have a memory of the first time you dove off a high dive diving board, or, you know, those memories are good and they fade with time. But when something as significant as what I'm talking about happens,
they're always there.
Then your brain has the ability to bring it forth through vivid images and sensations and sounds and things like that. So what I wanted to really talk about today is, first of all, that is a huge awareness key right there. On Journey to There, we always talk about, first, you have to be aware before you can make the change. And then to make the change, you have to understand what are the next baby steps for such a change. And even if the only thing you take away from the show today is that you've always wondered why, right about the time they put the Christmas decorations out, that you start being grumpy and irritable.
Yeah.
And it's because you had a really bad experience on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, or just
dysfunctional
childhood around decorating the tree. Like, I don't know. But
those frontal lobe memories are being triggered.
Yeah, you're smelling the pine, you're hearing the carols, the candy canes are in everybody's office, and they're feeding you Christmas cookies exchange and all this kind of stuff. And I really actually feel sorry for the people that associate that those memories with Christmas, because now they start putting them out like in August. And it used to be you didn't have to suffer until after Thanksgiving. But now for people who have PTSD around the holidays, and I'm not taking this lightly, I'm saying, like, it's unfortunate because our retail market is so consumer driven that the people that have moments around this really seriously have to be aware of this. And then the other thing, too, is like, okay, so what about that awareness? What can you do about it? And that's where I really did the research, because I know for myself things that I did. Like, I would have a conversation with myself that made me feel like I had two people in my head for a while until those conversations merged. I would say, the way you're feeling right now is not real. The way you're feeling right now is based on a memory from a time that was difficult for you. So I would have that awareness, and then I'd have to walk myself through it. A big trigger for me was the grocery store. And it was very difficult. I mean, you got to eat, so you got to go to the store.
Yeah, yeah.
But
you
that was
get those smells and those you know, those images and memories. All right, before we take a break, I want to. It was almost unfair of me to ask you, you know, what is that mechanism in your head that we can share with listeners for you to be able to explain that in 5 minutes or even this one show would be near impossible. So the listeners that we've had this whole journey that since we started this radio show, they probably have a good understanding of how you work and how you were able to work through this. So for anybody that's joined us recently and you want to get a better insight into Tracy's journey, what I would recommend doing is find episode number one. You can see the list of archived episodes on our website, journeytothere.com. You can find them on iTunes, iHeartRadio. But episode number one, that's the important one. Introduction. Well, they're all important. Introduction to Journey to There, because you'll get a better insight on how Tracy works and how, you know, what kind of person she is to be able to have the strength to do this. And I admire you. You know, I was getting all on you about the, you know, turning this deletion situation into something enlightening. But I've got to give it to you. I now see your angle on the enlightened inspiration thing. So we're going to wrap up the show. We'll get Tracy's takeaways, and we'll do that right after this.
Is the only thing keeping you from launching your podcast not knowing how? Let our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters relieve the overwhelm of launching, managing, and growing your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. Contact us at produceyourpodcast.com for a free 15-minute consultation. Produceyourpodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to There.
We're back with the episode. We're calling it Delete and Restore because of an episode that Tracy had. And only Tracy has the wherewithal to turn something like this into a positive experience. And it's time for Tracy's takeaways.
Well, thank you, Russ. And yes, I did take deleting 8,956. Did I mention that already?
Yes, you
files
did.
And turn it into a positive. But what I really did was I used some tools that I have built in, tried and true over the last 12 years. In addition to that, I actually just hit the pause button, which I talk about a lot, and just really reframed it because, like I said 12 years ago, when I walked out and it, you know, with no safety net and no plan B, I've really just felt like it was a job. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a life devastating terminal illness or anything like that. And so when all of those files got deleted 12 years later, it, instead of it being a 10-year process of awakening, it was a 3-minute process of awakening, which is just a testimony to how these tactics and working through change and how powerful that can be. So I wanted to focus on our takeaways because there are some powerful suggestions in here. Cognitive behavioral therapy is an option for everyone. However, it is very expensive. So we're about to save you hundreds of thousands
of
dollars.
Yeah, if it's not thousands.
Yeah, your return on investment for Journey to There. So one of the things that you can do, and I'm going to try to get these as succinct as possible so you can hear them all, is you can reset your brain. And what I mean by reset your brain is that we talked a little bit about how trauma is associated with scents and smells. And so once you have that awareness, you can talk to yourself. If you need to put your hands down on your bathroom counter and face yourself in the mirror, which try it even if you don't need to do it because it's actually pretty hard to do, and just talk yourself through it, like look at yourself in the eye like you would be looking at a friend. That's really, really helpful. And if you repeat that mantra or that message, then it becomes absorbed by your brain because it is scientifically proven that writing and then speaking and writing again and speaking it again actually helps it cement into your brain chemistry. The other thing in terms of resetting your brain that's so important is, and I love this because I really like things that are touchable, tangible, and it's called the three-step, well, I named it, the three-step priority list. And how that works is if there's something that you really want to do that is taking up a lot of your time, and we didn't hit on this a lot, but deleting things out of your life is also important for you to restore. And I think somewhat that goes without saying, but just think about like people, places, and things, or tasks, anything you can delegate that just sucks your time.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to create open spaces and delete those things and restore more time and be able to use that in more productive ways, like things around wellness or, you know, jobs are jobs, money's money, files are files, but your health and your well-being and time with your family and just quality life is
so much more important.
So you can actually create what I call the three-step priority list, where you make one list that where you write down how much time things are taking, whether you like to do them or not. And then the second thing is to make a second list that shows you write down how much things that you want to do that you wish you had time for. So the first one are things that you do and how much time they take. And then the second list is how you wish you were spending your time. And if money wasn't an issue, how would you be spending your time? And then the third list, which is the important list, is the merging of those two so that you can figure out what to delete to get that time, focus on which of those is the easiest to implement, take those off the list and keep the things in it that you want to do. And circling back to the read it out loud, once you create that third list, it's extremely important for it to be successful by reading it out loud because that's how your brain will process the information. And one just really easy, short last one is the word no. You can say no to people, places, things, tasks, requests, boards, charities, nonprofits, babysitting, whatever it is. My last thing to tell you today is no is not a four-letter word. So you can say it out loud at any time.
We have quite a few episodes with the four-letter word in it. very interesting.
Yeah, but not the ones you think.
Nah,
this is a clean family show.
All right, I want to go back and just remind you that the episode that we were talking about to get a better insight on this whole journey is the first episode, episode number one, Introduction to Journey to There. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. Log on to journeytothere.com. Tell your friends to find us on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and Empower Radio. And we look forward to hanging out with you at the intersection between personal and business growth. This is the Journey to There radio show, and this is one episode you don't want to delete.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.